Warrior football. True Warrior football. True Warrior football.
You are listening to True Warrior Football Podcast with your host, Corey Kid Smith.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Corey the Kid Smith. And of course, you are just tuned in now to another great episode of True Warrior Football Podcast. And, you know, last week, I challenged the guys, you know, I said, where are we going to go from here? All right. Winning streak just ended against Trinity. And now we're stepping into conference season and stepping up against a conference foe that called us out. Said at the beginning of the year, you know, I can't wait to go face Warren. I can't wait to see those guys. I got some unfinished business with those boys over there. Huh. And just like I said, with Center Grove at the beginning of the season, everybody else, watch what you ask for. Because when you call out the kings, when you call out the man at the top, you better be ready. You better be prepared. Because if you aren't prepared, if you don't come at them in the right way, certain things will happen that will make you wish you hadn't done that. And some little back and forth between some of their guys and our players, you know, happen online. That stuff happens. But could those guys back it up? See, our guys, I already know our guys are going to come to battle, all right? We Ready has been a motto for us since 2002, 2003, all right? You come over to the east side, baby. Ooh, you come over to the east side, you better bring it because you know our boys going to bring it, and that, especially when they're wearing that black. Ooh, when they're wearing that black, you better bring it. We had, you know what? I'm not even going to tell you what we had. I'm going to let my guys over at WEDM 91.1, I'm going to let them tell you how the game went for us.
1.1 WEDM. Welcome back to the live coverage of the Warren Central Warriors taking on the North Central Panthers in this homecoming game. Nonetheless, powerful defense gets to come out on the field and hopefully make some plays.
Hopefully make some plays and hopefully do what they do best, get some turnovers, put our offense in great position.
And the North Central Panthers will start out on the 35-yard line. They are led by quarterback Harry Abell. Bell is a 6'3", 215 senior. That is a big quarterback.
Definitely. Defense is going to have to watch him at all times.
Abell coming out in the shotgun formation. Three to his right, one to his left. A man in the backfield. That's David Smith. Abell dropping back to pass, and his first pass is broken up by Javion Stanberry. Intended target looked to be Richard Hamilton.
Got a feeling that we're going to be hearing Javion Stanberry's name called a lot this game, as well as the entire secondary.
Second down and 10 for the Panthers. Set up on their own 35-yard line, 11:58 remaining in this game. A quick play there to open up the drive. Abell in the shotgun formation once again. Two to his right, two to his left, with Smith in the backfield. Man in motion. And we have flags on the play.
It's like a false start.
Waiting to see what procedure, white.
And an illegal formation for North Central, so that will push them back 5 yards. It'll be second down and 15 with 11:58 remaining here in the first quarter of play.
It looked like they had maybe two people in motion at the same time there, and of course that's not allowed. So that moves them back 5 yards.
And that is going to put some good momentum on the side of the Warrior defense as well. It's now 5 extra yards are needed to pick up the first down. Abell in the shotgun formation. Two to his left, two to his right. Smith in the backfield once again. Abell driving back to throw this one. He's going to throw across the middle, and it is picked off quick. And this one may be going to the house. That's Lael Warren, and Lael Warren is going to be brought down at the 15-yard line of the Panthers. That is the first turnover for the Warriors already.
As I told you two plays ago, got a feeling we're going to be calling this secondary's name a lot, and we're starting already here with that interception.
11:47 remaining here in the first quarter of play, and the Warriors are already inside the red zone. Coming out on offense, Lael Warren getting to bring out the turnover belt for the first time this game.
And I got a sneaky suspicion we're going to be seeing that turnover belt a lot this game.
Third down and 10 for the Panthers with just over 8 minutes to go here in the first quarter of play. The score is all knotted up at zero. Warriors looking to make this another defensive stand, so hopefully they can get the ball back and put something in the end zone. Abel, shotgun formation, two to his right, two to his left. He'll drop back to pass. He's got an open tight end. Jaden Martin on the catch, but he's going to be nowhere near the first down marker, only picking up five, bringing up fourth down and five for the Panthers, and this will force another punt, and now the Warriors have another opportunity to hopefully put this one in the end zone.
Yeah, it looks like Coach West is over there hyping up his guys, so hopefully Kobe Moore and these receivers can, you know, start clicking and start moving down the field.
And one thing about Coach West, if he's trying to hype somebody up, that's a big deal. He wants you to get going because he, all the times I've talked to him, he always says he's not a hype man. So, and a block punt for the Warriors. It's going to be a scoop and score for a touchdown. What a way to start this one off. Credit that block punt and recover to Jaden Perkins, who absolutely annihilated that ball and took it into the end zone for the first Warrior touchdown of the night. The score is now 6-0 with 8:01 remaining in the first quarter of play.
And looks like on the punt there, defense was just ready, and the Panthers wasn't. Came out the blocks, just sprinting, and was there in an instant, blocked the punt, and as you said, picked it up and recovered it for the first score of the game.
Joe Jackson here on the PAT. He will put this one right through the uprights, making the score 7-0. Warriors on top with 8 minutes remaining here in the first quarter.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here, you know, defense is always going to be a special place in my heart, and I had to get this gentleman on. Just like last year, the first person to score a defensive touchdown was a junior, and this person I have on the show this week is also a junior. Welcome, defensive lineman number 95, Jaden Perkins. Jaden, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling real good.
Feeling real good. So tell me, walk me through the touchdown for you and how you were able to make it happen.
Well, on the punt, I was originally going for the block.
Okay.
And in my peripheral.
Willie got there before you did.
Yeah, I saw Willie flying in from my peripheral. And then I just saw the ball, and it was rolling toward the end zone, so I just scooped and scored it instead of fell on it.
The story, that's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about. Coach Clark teach you that?
Yeah.
Of course, of course. Now, what has this season so far, of course, we're 2-1, what have some of the things that you worked on for this season, have you been able to really progress in your game so far?
Yeah, I've gotten a lot better since last year. You know, I seen the field somewhat my sophomore year. Mm-hmm. I stayed every day in the offseason and worked out with a couple of the seniors that we got this year to really be ready for this season. So I've been waiting for a long time.
Has the game seemed a lot more faster than you anticipate, or has it been about the same pace for you?
It's been about the same pace. The plays come a little faster, but it's raw. Overall, the game's about the same pace.
All right. I love it. I love it. Well, Jaden, I appreciate you taking the time to sit and talk with me. The first person on defense to score a touchdown this season, man. Nobody can take that away from you. I love it. Hey, keep doing great things, and I'll have you on again. Jaden Perkins, ladies and gentlemen.
And with that being said, as we get ready to resume play, it will be third down and six for the Warriors. A third and long situation, so we'll wait to see what happens here if the trend continues. Hopefully the Warriors will be able to move the chains for another first down. Kobe Moore getting the play call from his offensive coordinators. 9:28 remaining here in the third quarter of play. 21-7 the score. The Warriors lead by 14. They are set up on the North Central 19-yard line. Moore finally getting the play call. He's got two to his left, one to his right in the shotgun formation with Randy Wells in the backfield. Moore gets a snap. He's going to be a quarterback draw, and he's going to charge ahead and be stopped just a yard short of the first down, and that's going to face Coach West with a tough decision here with just 9 minutes to go. Fourth down and two. Do you go ahead and try to pick up those 2 yards, or do you go ahead and take the safe route and kick the field goal?
Well, if I was Coach West, even though that our kicker unfortunately missed his first kick due to the fact that you are up 21-7, I would, if I was him, go with the safe option, take the field goal, you know, just in case if you go for it on fourth down, you know, maybe something chance happens.
And looks like they're going to take the risky route and go for it on fourth down. More shotgun formation. He's going to do another quarterback draw, and it's going to pay off. Moore is going to pick up more than enough to get the first down. He'll take it all the way to the 5-yard line and pick up a huge first down for the Warren Central Warriors, put them in great scoring position.
And the high-risk play paid off, you know. 2 quarterback sneaks in a row by Kobe Moore. I don't think the defense was really expecting it. I think they were expecting some kind of pass, maybe a fade out into the end zone, but Kobe Moore ran it right up the middle and was able to use his legs to get the crucial first down in the red zone.
First down and goal for the Warriors from the 5-yard line. 8:10 remaining here in the first third quarter of play. Moore, shotgun formation. 2 to his left, 1 to his right. Moore rolling out to the right side, firing for the end zone, and that's going to be caught for a touchdown to Marcus Brown. We'll extend this lead 27-7. The Warriors on top by 20 now with under 8 minutes to go here in the third quarter of play.
DeMarcus Brown's second touchdown of the day, extending Warren's lead out to 20.
And DeMarcus Brown has had 2 ginormous plays on this one. A 55-yard pickup as well as the touchdown that has brought the Warriors to a lead of 20 as we await the PAT from Joe Jackson. Jackson's PAT will split the uprights perfectly, making the score 28-7. Warriors on top by 21. You are listening to the sports voice of your Warren Central Warriors, 91.1 WEDM.
And ladies and gentlemen here, you know, I can't be too defense heavy on the show. I know people always accuse me of always, you know, favoring the defense. But the offense did have some great moments and plays this week. And our offense, quarterback Kobe Moore, is doing some great things working with the chemistry of our wide receivers and running backs. And a wide receiver that I anticipated on having a breakout season finally was able to have that breakout game for us. Ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by number, is it 11?
13.
13. I don't know why. Look, yeah. Number 13. Yeah, Derek. My fault. Number 13, DeMarcus Brown. DeMarcus, how you doing today, man?
I'm doing good, sir. I'm just, today's my birthday, actually. So,
Happy birthday. We'll let everybody else sing to you. But I'm glad that you had some, what is it, some setbacks to start the year.
Yeah, a couple.
But this week, man, you really took your game to the next level. What were you able to see against North Central that really were able to have you excelling so good?
I was able to point out the details, the little things that they lacked in. They lacked the basics, and they were too anxious. And honestly, they were not, as I can put it, disciplined.
Mm. Okay. Now, walk me through. I think your second touchdown, I think, is the better of the two. Although both of them were great plays. I would love to have those in my highlight reel as well. But your second one I thought was really well. Over the summer during your 7-on-7 and Andy Select stuff, you highlighted a lot of great plays that you were making. And I was like, oh, man, this guy is some footwork. I could tell you put in a lot of work with David Bell and those guys over the offseason, didn't you?
Yes, sir. I work with David a lot. And I also work with Dexter Taylor, Coach Dex. Okay. Yeah, I got a lot of work in with
Warrior him. Warrior legend right there.
Yes, sir.
So talk to me about the second touchdown and how you were able to make that happen.
The second touchdown, it was a goal line comeback, one of me and Span's favorite routes. We ran it all the time. We repped it during the Select season. I actually had a very popular catch on Twitter about it. And so he asked me, am I up for it in the game? I'm ready to go.
No, you're not going to tell him no. It's like, nah, coach, don't throw me that ball. Don't throw me that. I ain't been working on it or nothing like that.
Definitely. You know, he called my number. It was just all about making a play. Went out there, He knew my skill set. He knew what I could do, and I went out there and showed him I could do it.
That's awesome, man. You definitely made a great play, and I think that would have been good in the NFL too. The way you got your feet down in, that was a great ball, great throw from Kobe, and you made a great catch on it. What is it? Because this year, transitioning to another thing, I really think a lot of people did not expect us to have, because last year, of course, we had David, we had other great wide receivers, Latavius Goods, Montrez Stanley, and those guys, they got a fair share of the ball. You made some couple plays last year as well. But now, with those guys gone, everybody just felt like our offense didn't have those explosive players anymore. Did you feel that way as well?
Honestly, I didn't. And it's no disrespect to last year's group. They were definitely some studs, yeah. Probably the greatest to walk through here. But honestly, like just practicing and knowing what we had from last year, I knew that we had some guys, and it was just up to us to prove to everybody that we still had the talent, the skill set. And honestly, I feel like our talent is more spread out this year, yes, at the receiver core.
And really, it's you, Eli, excuse me, and Derek Allen do some great things. Chris Atkins, I'm waiting on him to blow up. Another tight end that's transferred in here, I know he's doing some really good things so far. And once Kobe and Randy and those guys get into space, I mean, we have an offense right here that could do some things now. Yes, we got some offense to do some things. Tell me, what have you seen on film so far from LC that really has you excited about this week's game?
Honestly, I've seen, like I said before, the man coverage, knowing that each one of our skill sets, me, Price, and Derek, knowing that we can get the play, the open ball, get separation down to our routes, and have faith that Kobe, he's going to get us the ball.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to sit with me, DeMarcus. Hey, go out there and just continue to play your game, right? You got this far, so you shouldn't be nervous, right?
Yes, sir.
I love it. I love it. Lucky number 13, DeMarcus Brown, my man.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, the game is over. Our Warriors were victorious 28-7. A much-needed win. Offense greatly improved. Defense was stout, all right, from my count, and my count is very accurate. We had 11-12 stops, definitely 10 stops total for sure. Matter of fact, no, because we had the 3 interceptions. We made them punt the ball about 8 times. And then we had a block kick, so that's 12 stops. And one of the main stars on the defense that got the night off on a high note right in the first quarter is number 5, safety, Leo, a.k.a. Lalo Warren. Lalo, how you doing, man? I know it's tough. The game didn't end the way for you. We won't get into that right now. Talk to me about the play and how the team was able to carry momentum from that onward.
Oh, you know. Feel me, number 12, me and C, he was talking that cash.
He was talking cash to you?
He was talking cash on Instagram. 100 yards, he's going to get it.
He's going to get it?
Yeah, so you know me and little Javion, first play of the game.
So Javion, that mean, if he Javion, thought he was going to get it, that mean you had to go get it, right?
Yeah, just so Javion, first play of the game, Javion Stanbury, patted down. Next play, tries to throw it to him, jump in front of him, pick him off, go get the belt, talk my talk.
Hey, how did it feel to go get that belt? Because that's the first time you've been able to get that belt. I've been challenging you to get that belt, and you finally came through for me. I almost thought you was going to get that first touchdown, though, but your teammate got there before you did. But I thought you was like, come on, Lalo, take it to the house. Take it to the house. Oh, man. How'd it feel, though?
No, I feel good. More importantly, I just feel better changing the momentum of the game and getting my team the ball back right after the kickoff.
How did you feel about the overall performance of the defense tonight, man?
Defense played good. Had a couple players go down and a couple players step up, but we could have played better. Always room for improvement.
Always room for improvement. I love it. Still, the season's still early. We're 2-1. We have a long season ahead of us. I know you're about to get go through some treatment here and get healthy yourself. So, hey, best of luck to you, and I'll have you back on. You're going to be one of my favorite players this year, all right?
All right, thanks, kid.
I love what you're doing. Love what you're doing. Leo Warren, a.k.a. Lalo, and I got another guy. No, come on back. Come on back. The first two-time person I've had on the show this year, all right? Willie Eaton, man.
Hey, you've been tearing it up so far this season, okay? We already talked to you about your first game where you had 16 tackles. Last week, you had a huge block kick, that block field goal. This week, you came through special teams player again, man. What is it you're doing this year to really turn your game up from last year?
Staying focused and doing what my coaches asked me to do.
All right. And, hey, what do you feel about the end result tonight and your performance?
I liked my performance, but the team overall performed very good.
Yeah, I just told Lalo here, we had about 11 to 12 stops, adding up all their punts and the fumbles and interceptions that we caused and forced, man. Hey, this defense right here is special. Don't you think so?
Yes, sir.
But you think you got a lot of room for improvement?
Yeah, we got a whole lot of room for improvement.
I love it. I love it. Willie, hey, go out there. Be safe tonight. And, hey, make sure you come in tomorrow and get ready for LC, them Bears, all right? All right. Lalo, Warren, Willie Eaton, safeties, defense, I love it. And you see, folks, that is what happens. Domination from the first drive to the last drive, beginning to the end. You know, when, and I always like talking about the old days and stuff like that, but, you know, that's what part of the show is. You know, it's talking about the history of the program. And when Coach Tutsi was the head coach and defense coordinator here, before every game, you know, you had a defense on one side of the locker room and you had those guys. You have a big whiteboard. Huge whiteboard, and he write different things on it. Always, always, their cats are not better than our cats, all right? One of the first things on there. Other things on the board, stop first possession, first and second half. Other goals, 8 stops, all right? Courage before dishonor was another one that I always loved, all right? 2.5, you hold your opponent to 2.5 yards per rush or less, you're going to win the game. These are all goals right here that were established years ago that still hold true today. Because when I look at the stats, they had 85 rushing yards on 25 carries. Do the math on that. All right, that's under 2.5. We had, like I said, With Lalo, all right, like I said in that interview, we had over 10 stops, all right? That's huge. Stop first possession on their first possession of the game, coming out of each half. Dominating effort. Great play overall by our defense. And our offense is, I'm telling people, man, once our offense gets rolling, we are going to be special. And Kobe is doing some great things so far. The work that he's done has just been phenomenal. You know, he is slowly but surely establishing himself in our offense. So far through the season, he has 6 passing touchdowns, and 1 interception. That is just fine with me. I couldn't do that. You know, if you take any other person out there and say, oh, man, he's playing at Warren Central, he should be able to do that. Okay, well, here's what I'm going to do for you, okay? I'm going to take you, regardless if you're a position player or not, I'm going to take you and throw you into the starting quarterback role and see how well you handle the offense, how well you can handle knowing your playbook, and then have you go out there and execute at the highest stage each and every Friday night. And if you can do half of the stuff that he's done so far, then my hat is off to you, all right? But you'll see and understand how tough it has been for this young man. But you know what? Tough times make tough people, all right? And that kid right there, Kobe Moore, he's a tough, tough young man. He has taken every hard punch that's been thrown at him, and he's come back asking for more. Let's go. Let's go. Let's do it again. Man, I'm telling you, our offense has some very special weapons, and you guys saw, has some young guys step up. That's what I really love about our program. Next man up, all right? Some things just aren't working. Some plays aren't working right. Ooh, boom. All right, we're going to throw this next guy in there. Let's see what happens next. That's how legends are made, folks. That's how those younger guys can step up and establish themselves and start making a name for themselves. I love it. I absolutely love it. And also, I know last week I spoke about him and his legacy a lot, but I just want to thank each and every person last week, either online, if they came to the game, if they came to his funeral, they came to his anything for him. But just thank you to each and every single person that paid their respects to our great Coach Willen. It was very touching to see his family there. And really, a lot of people came up to me and said, you know, thank you for, you know, spreading the word. Thank you for doing an interview. Thank you for just putting our father and our grandfather's name out there. You know, we really loved it. He meant so much to us. And I was like, no, he meant so much to us as well. Coach Willen was family. Coach Willen will always be family. All right. Like I said, I only knew him for 15 years, but in those 15 years, man, I never met a better person. And really with the 1984 reunion, the reunion for the very first state championship team in school history, you know, it was those guys coming back to really pay homage to him in their special way. And it was really cool to be around those guys. And I had some great interviews with those guys as well. So let's throw it over to some of those guys.
Hey, matter of fact, ladies and gentlemen, we are joined by a very special group of people today. Of course, this is the 35th reunion of our 1984 state championship team, the first state championship winning team in school history. And I'm joined by a former coach and a former player on the team. Introduce yourselves right here. What's your name, sir?
Tim Turner.
Tim Turner. And Tim played offensive line, was it?
Correct.
Were you guard, center? Guard. Okay. What, now you're back here at the program here. What all memories do you remember from your time here in the program, and how special has it been to be recognized tonight like this?
Oh, it's very special. And what the current administration have done and the AD have done to make Warren what it is on the east side, while it was never Carmel when I was here, it was decidedly a different economic picture. So what the administration has done and the family atmosphere built is incredible, second to none.
That's outstanding. You know, you talk about administration and what they've done, and a lot of that administration part can be attested to. The gentleman standing right here to my left, I have former coach, also former principal, all-around well-loved individual, Mr. Tony Burchett. Mr. Burchett, how you doing today?
I'm doing really well, thank you, especially since the Warriors are up 14 to nothing.
Absolutely. We had a defensive touchdown there.
Yes, we did.
I loved it.
That makes a difference, kid. It really does.
Hey, defense wins championships.
Always.
You taught me that. Tutsi taught me that. Coach Willen, he and I talked. I just remember sitting down with him, and I put a little bit on the end of this week's show, how, you know, you guys always want to set the tone each and every night that you guys stand on the field. He's like, that's how you play Warren Central football, man.
Well, this is what Gary Bonin's here too, who back in 1985 kicked a field goal with 43 seconds to go that allowed us to win our second state championship here.
Absolutely. Against Carmel.
Against Carmel. In the rain, in the mud, all of that. But what I'd say, kid, you know, the thing that makes this place so special is the adage that tradition never graduates.
Absolutely.
Tim flew back up here from Marietta, Georgia.
Oh, wow.
To be a part of this. You know, we've built something special down here through the years, and we really just tried to be a good positive impact, and we just really believe that our students could be successful like all the other students, so we really just tried to build that climate, to tell you the truth. And Mr. Shepler's done a great job. Obviously, Mr. Clayton has done a great job of continuing that. So we're really very fortunate to have those two individuals in leadership positions.
And you guys, and I say you had a great part in this because you helped bring on the likes of Coach Wright, and he brought on great people on his staff. And that tradition that, you know, they started carries on still to this day. And so many people have you guys to thank. And like you said, we have guys that go all across the country and be successful. Mm-hmm. Guys go to Stanford, guys go to schools in California or Arizona and Florida and all over the country to really be successful. That, you know, this goes to show you don't have to go to a super prep school or a private school where you got to pay a ton of money. You can go all that right here on the east side and make something of yourself.
Well, kid, you know this. Hats off to Kevin Wright. Because he not only in football, but in our school in general, he led the way with his leadership, just showing that we could be successful in many, many areas, to tell you the truth. And it wasn't an accident. We worked hard at doing just that, like Tim had said there about bringing this to Warren Central High School. But, gosh, that four in a row piece there in the you know, I don't think that'll ever be equaled in 6A big-time football in Indiana. We were just so dominant. But, again, it was important to everyone. It was important to the alums like Tim. Mm-hmm. It was important to you being a vital part of that yourself. It's just really one of those things where, gosh, man, it was just a special time with special people. And, you know, I was fortunate to be here and fortunate to be a big part of that.
Very fortunate. And when you talk about great teams, you have to start, I mean, the four-peat years were absolutely amazing, but when you have to talk about great dominant teams, you guys in the 80s, man, were something very special. And I remember I sat down with Coach Madison. He said how you guys were just sick to yourselves, how 83 didn't go the right way for you guys. And from there on, it was a whole nother level of working hard to reach that ultimate pinnacle. Talk to me about how we were able to get to that final game in 84 and the pathway.
I'm gonna date myself a little bit here,
don't
because
do that, Coach.
In 1983, we lost on this field in what was called a cluster buster.
Yes.
Which were three teams get together because not everybody got in the playoffs. Uh-huh. So we lost in a cluster buster. Basically, where you put the ball in the 10 and you get a chance to score, you don't score. And we made a couple of mistakes. It didn't go our way. But the next year, that's 1984, where we really were really a dominant team in the state of Indiana. And then we followed that up in 85. You know, now again, we were really a team. Jeff George was a terrific number one draft pick in the NFL. We had great receivers. We had great running backs. We had a lot of tools. And the defense that you were talking about earlier, I think we gave up less than a touchdown a game in 1984. So we, and Coach Massey, Jeff Massey, was a terrific player. We had so many great, great players. Shannon Furbrush and Kevin Lewis, these are names, and Kermit Britt, just an outstanding team. And I don't mean to leave anybody out because it was just a great, great team.
No, and you know what? You could talk about so many great players, you'd be talking all day because that's how many great players we've had come through our program every year, especially on the championship teams. Now, Mr. Turner here, what was it like for you blocking for a terrific signal caller and passer like Jeff George? What was it like for you every single game?
You have to keep in mind, he wasn't who he was when we played here.
Okay.
I mean, I grew up with Jeff down the road.
Really?
We grew up in the same neighborhood. So to me, it was always Jeff.
Okay.
Now, he was always athletically gifted well beyond everybody else.
Uh-huh.
But keep in mind, in 1984, he was a 16-year-old kid like I was.
Ah, that's
and
true.
He had not been drafted in the NFL. And he had not made millions, you know. And then on that 84 team was Jason Whitlock, who taught me a lot personally.
Really?
Yes. Jason played next to me, or I played next to Jason. So it was a good team effort. And then, as Coach said, you know, the 85 team, what so many people lose sight of on the 85 team, Jeff had great statistics. We had very good, you know, offensive production. The 85 team had seven shutouts. We only played 14 games and could have had more. We could have shut out in the state championship. We were playing second, third string players at the end of the first half.
Wow. That's incredible, man. That's incredible.
But everybody got to play. That was always a coaching staff's philosophy. If there was an opportunity, especially the seniors, you were in the program, you were going to get some playing time.
I love it. I love it. I got another guy coming over here, a very special individual as well.
This is Gary Bonin.
Gary Bonin, star kicker. Star kicker.
1985, again, we've talked about this a lot the last few days. Torrential downpour, sleet, all those kinds of things. Kicks a 32-yard field goal with 43 seconds to go that allowed us to beat Carmel, which would have you know, obviously that was in the tournament, we would not be the two-time defending state champion.
And you know what? Huge moments like that really define a program. I talk about how in 2004 we had special plays down the line where if we don't make those plays, we lose a game and the 4-peat doesn't happen. So let me talk to you, Mr. Bonin. When you were getting ready for that kick in 1985, you know, what all can you remember and describe the field to the people that are listening here? What all can you remember about that game and that moment?
I can only remember that if I don't make that kick, we go home for the rest of the season. We don't continue. And that's the only thing that was in my mind. The weather had nothing to do with it. It was strictly making the kick and having confidence in the program, believing in the program.
And that was... But what was the final score of that game?
The final score was 17-15.
17-15. And now, how had your kicks been going before that night? Had you had slippery footing, or had you just not been able to get very much good luck or anything, or had everything worked out for you?
Everything had worked out. I practiced as much as I could in those conditions. I warmed up well before the kicks.
Okay.
My concentration was on the game, where the ball was. When the ball was in my field goal range, I was in the net warming up.
Okay.
Because it's a team sport.
Absolutely. You got to stay prepared for those big moments, because at a drop of a hat, it could be, hey, you're up now.
Absolutely.
So, hey, that's great to hear. Have you been able to come back to a lot of games since you graduated and stuff like that?
I haven't come back to a lot. I've always tried to come back for the reunions.
Okay.
And part of that's my own fault. I mean, I'm not like I'm out of state or anything. I've had other things, other commitments.
I understand that. Life happens.
Exactly.
Life happens. Have any of your other kids come and gone to school here?
No, they have not. We actually live in the Noblesville area.
Okay.
My youngest just graduated from Franklin College.
Awesome. Congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Right there.
Congratulations to Miss. Your father's a Warren legend here, as I'm sure you already know.
I heard.
Well, I appreciate you coming back for this reunion.
I appreciate you having us.
No, you know what? I don't get a great opportunity to talk to guys that played long before I was a part of the program, and I knew I had to be a part of this reunion and come back and get as many of you guys as I could, because you guys said, I mean, if it weren't for you guys and the things you did, I never want to be a part of a program here, because you guys said something special.
But you know what? Even though it started with us, it continues. And like I told the team yesterday, tradition never graduates.
Absolutely.
That's why we
got
to keep coming back. You know, when they're 35 years out, they need to come back.
Absolutely.
And
well,
we keep coming back as long as we can make it.
As long as you can make it. I love it. Well, enjoy the rest of your game.
Right,
I appreciate it. Thank you. Kicker Gary Bonin, offensive lineman Tim Turner, and Mr. Burchett, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, it's always great to hear guys like Mr. Burchett, but just talking to players from that era, from the 80s era, that I haven't had the opportunity to talk with personally, but I've had people come on the show and talk about, is really great as well. And another person that I have not had on the show, you know, our school's had so many great coaches throughout the years. This is one of those coaches that was at the game. I had not had an opportunity to speak with him yet on the show fully, and I hope to have him on here again soon. But this gentleman right here is just so special, and I caught him in the middle of a conversation. We were going to stop. I was like, you know what? We're just going to go from this point, because it's what he was saying was just too good. So we're jumping in right in the middle of our conversation, but it's so good what he was saying, man. So you guys enjoy this.
You may not want to put that on. anyway, they allowed
me. Statute of limitations.
Yeah. They allowed me to be able to. I knew this. Uh-huh. The weakest part of a football team. You know what the weakest part of a football team is?
What's that?
The secondary.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely. High school.
They've got four scared to death kids out there, uh-huh, to cover 53 yards.
Yeah.
And it's hard. Uh-huh. So I thought, well, how can I take advantage of that? So I thought, we need to throw the ball. So we did.
And you had at that time one of the best signal callers come around in state history when you finally had Jeff turn to you as a sophomore, and you had him through his
who?
Jeff George.
Oh, yeah. He was But he wasn't the first.
He wasn't the first?
Well.
Mr. Shepler. That's right.
Pat Patterson, who's one of the principal of one of the buildings. He was top-notch quarterback.
So it started with those two before.
It started, let me think about that. When I first took over, I ran the wing tee.
Oh.
Yeah, that was our specialty.
And then I left the wing tee and I went to the, can't think of the name of it now. Anyway, for about 3 or 4 years, I ran the ball and I thought, this is counterproductive. You know, we got to be able to take advantage of people. So that's where we went into throwing the ball.
Yeah, wow.
And it would have been really in around 76 on.
Okay.
76 on the tide.
I think your last season was 88?
88.
Okay. And then you were still, after that, you were the athletic director here.
Right.
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 Now, two questions here, Coach. I know you got a lot of things going on tonight. Two things I want to ask you. One, the 84 season, what all stands out to you most about that season and how you guys were able to finally overcome and bring home a state championship?
Well, sounds funny, but my job, we were pretty good.
Uh-huh.
But my job was to get in the game on Friday unhurt.
Okay.
So they were good kids. But I think the biggest thing is that they were certainly not selfish in any way. Never did they say my way, we don't like this. They were all very unselfish.
You know, it's very hard to win when you don't have all guys buying into the ultimate goal and ultimate prize, man.
Well, I'd be silly to say that we didn't have talent, because we had talent.
Oh, of course. I mean, that's part of it. I mean, winning a state championship is an astronomical feat in itself. Everything you got to go through and stay healthy and overcome to get to that final goal, man.
Yeah.
It's tough.
You're right.
You got her? Okay.
Second thing I want to ask you, Coach, what all, with the passing of your close friend, Coach Willen here,
yeah,
what all can you say about him and his memory and what was it like for you having him as a part of your staff those years?
Well, he wasn't just a part of the staff. He was my friend.
Yes.
And he was a really kind person. He never said no. He always listened to you. And if he disagreed, he talked to you about it. He was always, Clark Kent, all mild tempered. But when you got him riled up, get away from him. You know, because he knew
very
what
true.
He wanted to do. Yeah, he was very, very nice man. He was in all ways, he was a kind person. That's what I can say about my friend.
He's definitely well missed. I was lucky enough to have him on the show and talk to him about his time here. It's just incredible to think of a person who spent 50 plus years in a program, because that's so hard to do nowadays. A lot of coaching, you know, you don't stay in one spot for so long. You may coach for a long time, but never in one spot for as long.
Well, he was happy being assistant, and he told me a story once. In high school, his high school coach, after he played and left and went to college, and Larry said, I want to be like him. His coach coached till he was 80, 81.
Wow.
And Larry took him as an example of what he wanted to do.
Wow.
I've never forgotten that, and he was always true to that. But several times, and he would say, you know, this is the way he did it. I remember how we did it. His former coach was as good an example to him as he has been to our kids.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Well, Coach Dolph, I appreciate you taking the time here.
I
would love to sit down with you again and get more in depth about you and your career here and your time at Warren. I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, legendary coach Jerry Stauffer.
So there you have it. There you have it, Coach Stauffer, with some great words, man. He's, you know, he's sharp as a whip still, and man, he can tell some great stories. And it was just a great time being around him, being around other guys that haven't had opportunity to be around a program for a long time. And you know, they look around and they just look back and see what the stadium, what the program has really become, and they look back in awe. and amazement that they were able to help build something that we all love and cherish today. And that's just something special. That's something special. And I hope what our athletic administration has planned in the near future. I had a great talk with AD Clayton earlier in the week. I hope what they're planning to do in the near future is definitely well received by all and brings in more guys that haven't been a part of the program for so long. It brings them back into the fold and takes our Warrior football alumni family to greater heights, to greater depths, and allows more people to be a part of what we have going on here and what we have, what we've built to be so special over here on the Far East side. So continue to listen to the show and be aware of any announcements that I'll be making for that as well. And lastly, folks, before I get us out of here, I have to say I've not been able to focus too much on our guys at college as much as I wanted to, partially because a lot of the college news, a lot of our guys in college haven't really been, there's still some levels of college football that haven't started yet for some guys. And I'm going to be doing more in-depth stuff about all of those guys at a later time this season, hopefully, if not next week, the next week after that. But there's three guys I have to mention before I can move on. First things first, okay, we all know David Bell, all right? David Bell just been absolutely phenomenal. He off to his very first game, he had a touchdown, a huge touchdown in their game against Nevada. It's great. Last week, he had like 4 or 5 receptions for 82 yards, no touchdown, but he was a key piece, had probably the toughest catch of the game by anybody, any wide receiver had to make. He's fit in so well into the offense over there. Coach Brahms, but he speaks glowingly of him and said, we got another great freshman wide receiver on our hands here like we did last year. So he's been tearing it up really over there for those guys, for the Boilermakers. And another guy from last year's team, Ramir Elliott, you know, 2 games in, 2 career touchdowns, 1 rushing, 1 receiving. And his Southern Illinois team had a huge, huge win against UMass this past week. And for an FCS school to go and beat an opponent of that caliber, a Division I opponent, that's huge, man. Those guys have been working their butts off long before Ramir got there to really get that program turned around and make it into something. So I know Ramir has worked so hard to get to that level of, you know, a guy, so many colleges and teams has passed on because of, unfortunately, they looked at his height, but they didn't check the film. They didn't look at the game film and say, oh, man, I need that guy right here. I need that guy because he can do that. He can do that, all right? They look at what you can't do, but they don't look at what you can do more. That's why I wish college recruiting was more, but Ramir has established himself as a playmaker for the Salukis down there. So, Ramir and David, I'm so happy for both of you guys out there. Continue to do great things. All right. You're making everybody over here that are huge fans of you guys very proud. And the last person I have to talk about before we end this week's show, my brother, all right, Michael Tutsi. All right. Like I said, I've practically raised this boy. And I every time I see him do something great, I just, you know, like a younger brother, man, you get so happy and so excited for him. And he's just been an absolute playmaker for his North Dakota State Bison. And the first 2 years he was there, they won national championships. Last year, when he played a lot more special teams, he had some great defensive plays as well, got 2 interceptions, but he wasn't really the starter. He was a backup guy, you know, trying to earn his way into this team and the system and everything like that, you know, trying to figure out where he fit in. But it's figured out now. And as he is a redshirt sophomore on the field, he's truly made his presence known. Like this past week against North Dakota, he had not one, but two huge interceptions against an in-state rival. Led the team in tackles as well. Like, the guy is a starting safety on the number one team in all of FCS. And people are like, well, what does that mean? I don't know what FCS is. Just think of, okay, if Mike was playing Division I ball, he would be the starting one free safety for a team that was of the same caliber as an Alabama or a Clemson or Oklahoma, you know, one of those top teams that you see go into the playoffs, into the college football playoff every year. That is what Michael is for North Dakota State. And people are like, well, they don't play anybody because those teams over there, and they do play some guys. They play, trust me, South Dakota State's good. They play Delaware this upcoming week, all right? A lot of these schools that they would face, schools from the Big Ten, schools from the Big 12, are scared of going to play North Dakota State or even having North Dakota State come play them. Want to know why? Because they've beaten them. Some of those teams, they've beaten soundly, like a drum. They see, oh, man, those guys aren't going to be able to compete with us. Yeah, they will, all right? North Dakota State is a great program, and I'm so happy Michael landed at North Dakota State, and even more happy to see that not only has he landed there, but he's excelling there. He's doing so many great things there, man. I love what he's become as a leader for that team. I love seeing everything that he's been able to do for his team. So, Michael, congratulations to you on the two picks, being a player of the week for your team up there as well. For all my other guys that are doing college football right now as well, congrats on everything that you'll accomplish this season. Continue to do well. You know, I will definitely be making sure your accolades and all the success you guys accumulate throughout the year will be talked about here and on the Twitter and on the Facebook account. You know, I'm steadily trying to grow the page and put out more content for you all and let people know that, hey, we have guys that continue to do great things on the football field after they leave here. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Corey the Kid Smith. You just listened to another great episode of True Warrior Football. Please make sure you rate, subscribe, listen to this, spread the word to all your friends and other Warrior fans out there. And as always, Warrior Band, take us away.